This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torver. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to another episode of Outspoken. Now, it was quite funny listening to that intro because it was quite a contentious topic on our trip to Port Elliot.
Yeah, because it was actually a question in a quiz we played over the weekend. So we had a girls versus boys friends style quiz. So we basically broke off into groups and Kate, Sophie and I came up with some banger questions. So can you run us through some of the questions we had?
Well, we had to come up with 10 personal questions about each of us and so did the boys. And they ranged from very, very obscure things like what lipstick color do I wear to more easy answers that the boys really should have known, like what are the names of our aunties and uncles whom they have met. And the thing is, we played this game a number of years ago on another holiday and it just led to confrontation, arguments and upset, and the boys really didn't want to play the game again. Somehow we really wanted to play, but the worst thing was that we kind of turned on one another instead of the boys.
Well, I'm the one that got turned upon because I think it was around 12 o'clock on the last night of the trip and it was a tie. So Amy and Sophie were being so competitive that they wanted to do a second round. And I was just so tired that I was like, okay, you guys can come up with a question. So you went off to the room and you came out very smug and you asked a question regarding what street did our parents live on when they lived in Port Augusta when they first met.
Now, and the trick of Amy- it was quite a memorable street because it was Hyman Avenue. And well, we thought it was Hyman Avenue, and Amy and Dale had shared a somewhat funny discussion about the fact that it was Hyman.
The reason I remembered it was Hyman is because when Sophie and I were coming up with our business name, I asked Mum and Dad, hey, what was the street that you had a house on in Port Augusta? Because sometimes street names are really cool business names. And Mum's like, I don't think you want to use our street name. It was Hyman.
Anyway, you got your wires crossed because that was actually the name of their street at their first house in Edwardstown in Adelaide, not in Port Augusta.
Yeah, so I knew that this was the Edwardstown address because I had been looking at a house in that area and went on the street. So I was like, oh, hang on, isn't that the street name of Mum and Dad's first house in Edwardstown? And oh, the daggers that I got, I literally got roasted.
What a traitor. I'm sorry, you were team girls. Even if you knew that, you shut up.
You should have gone on with it.
And can I just say, it was not a draw. We were actually winning by one and Sophie's boyfriend kicked up a stink because he said the point shouldn't count for us because Sophie said his favorite movie was Karate Kid and not The Karate Kid. So that was a contentious issue.
I do have to say, I was very impressed with Brandon. He did seem to know. Well, I feel like he answered most of the questions about myself and also Kate, who he used to work with. He really held that team up there. But when it turned to questions about our podcast and our podcast intro, it was quite clear that they don't listen, which I am glad about. But here, let's throw to a clip of what they think our podcast intro is.
Recite our podcast's intro.
You blocked work from your podcast.
And the podcast where we talk about all things...
Bring it home!
Influences,
reality TV,
and having a badge.
Surely, winner.
Now, I feel like one of our listeners, Rodney, has really put the boys to shame because they couldn't even get one line right, whereas he, a couple of months ago, was reciting it on his Instagram story that we all loved.
To be fair, I think Dad would also be clueless. However, I think Mum would actually be able to recite it. We'll have to try and ask her tonight at family dinner.
She's number one listener.
Yeah. Film it for a reel. Put it to the test and see if she knows all the words. I think she would because she listens to the podcast episodes a couple of times in one day.
Now, Kate, there have been a couple of questions in our Facebook community about your puppy and you are actually visiting her today.
I am so excited. I feel like I have been waiting for this day for so long. It's only been, I think, 7 weeks since she was born. And we get to take her home at the 8-week mark. So today we get to go down, meet all the puppies. We don't know which one is ours yet. We did have the breeder ask what sort of personality we wanted and color and size. But we just said we wanted a friendly dog because I almost thought it was a test if you really focused on the aesthetic of the dog. So I was like, oh, I don't mind. I just want a friendly dog that will get along with Shadow.
Yeah, I'd like the most Instagram-worthy looking dog that you have to offer.
Is there one that's got like one different colored eye?
I would like like it noted that I did not ask for the most Instagrammable dog. My dog just became Insta famous on his own.
Well, his brother Winston's got a big Instagram following, and I really hope Thank that you. My two dogs now get a shout out from your page.
Morning, guys, and welcome to a beautiful morning here in Cronulla.
Influencer and content creator Kurt Tills revealed he considered becoming a drug dealer and a stripper before meeting his wife Sarah's Day. He made the admission during a recent podcast episode of the newly revamped Health Code Daily. Kate, firstly, can you give us a rundown on Sarah and Kurt's podcast?
Yeah, so they launched their podcast called The Health Code back in 2018. And at the time when it launched, they did long form episodes covering topics relating to fitness, which really haven't aged that well. There were things like how to get abs, are you training hard enough, as well as relationship episodes sharing dating advice. So last year, Spotify then funded a daily Health Code show where the couple released 5 to 10 minute episodes each day. Now, every day they had a specific topic to cover. So for example, on Tuesdays, it was Tasting Tuesdays. Wednesdays was Workout Wednesday. So there was a bit of a formula there. However, it was quite clear it got old quickly and it was quite a restrictive way to record podcasts, because it didn't allow Kurt and Sarah to be quite creative or bring up stories. Like the stories they had to talk about could only fit into that specific format. So 2 weeks ago, the Health Code Daily had a complete rebrand and they launched season 2. So in this new season, they've got rid of the daily topics and have started to go rogue, as they like to call it. So it's quite clear their strategy is to share juicier and more relatable content about their lives, which is I am definitely here for at the moment. And I have really been enjoying the new content.
Now, on Wednesday's episode, they discussed how Kurt considered becoming a stripper and a drug dealer when he was struggling financially a couple of years ago. Now, this was before Sarah and Kurt started dating, and Sarah said he went through a bad boy stage after breaking up with his ex-girlfriend who cheated on him. Now, Kurt explained that he was severely broke, living out of home, working a few different jobs, and just scraping by week to week. He said it got to a stage where he couldn't afford food like rice and tuna, and his parents had to help him out to afford rent, but he ended up blowing all of his money on the weekends partying. And he said that it was at this stage of his life when he was in a very dark place and considered drug dealing. Here's a clip of what he said.
It's pretty bad to admit, but I even looked at dealing. Yeah.
Far out.
It was pretty bad. Like we had these.
Is when you were a tradie?
Yeah, well, I was a tradie. And I went through high school, never touched a drug in my life. Mm. Never touched a drug. Didn't even really like alcohol that much until year 11 and 12 where you start to, you start partying and that.
No, I don't know.
But yeah, you don't. You're a sheltered child.
Now, Kurt then went on to explain that he was at rock bottom at this point and he was living in a complex where his next door neighbours were selling drugs. So he and his roommate were both in the same position. They were both struggling financially and in such a rut that they said, hey, why don't we do what they're doing? They're making so much cash at the moment. So they sat down and talked about it, mulled over it for a while, and then thought, oh my God, what are we doing? We could end up in jail. We could lose it all. And it was very lucky that Kurt didn't go down this path, because Sarah explained that the next door neighbors a few weeks later actually got caught. So Kurt said that being a religious man, he thinks that God was watching over him during that time. And during that time, he was also praying a lot. And he said that it was quite a scary place to be in, because despite the fact that he was looking for God for advice, he was still drawn into this quick cash grab.
I was just completely shocked that they would share this type of content on their podcast. I mean, as Kate said, these podcasts are so much better than the previous series of the Health Code Daily because they are so juicy. And this is the type of content that I actually love listening to. But again, in terms of a branding perspective, I am really surprised that Sarah and Kurt would let out this type of information.
Oh, I was getting my smoothie ready this morning and I had listened to Tuesday's episode where they touched on that Kurt really loved Magic Mike and wanted to be was inspired by Channing Tatum to become a stripper, and it was like a lighthearted conversation, and they said, oh, we should do a whole episode of this. So I was taken aback enough that Kurt was talking about being a stripper, and suddenly they just dropped into the conversation about him considering being a drug dealer, and all I could think about was Sarah's Day's father, who seems very straight-laced. I mean, they always joke about how Sarah has lived in a very sheltered life, and I just could not imagine it. I found it so strange to think that that was where Kurt was in his life at the time, and how much his life has changed from meeting Sarah?
Well, Sarah actually said that when she met Kurt, one of the things that she loved most about him was that he was so honest about the fact that he was into partying. She didn't say that he took drugs, but she sort of alluded to the fact that he knew her morals yet was honest about his past. And he also said that a couple of weeks before he met her, he had considered being a stripper.
Well, she said something like, Kurt knew that I'd never done drugs before. And Kurt also referenced the fact that he said, I'd never done drugs at high school. So he didn't say he had done drugs. But as you said, Sophie, there was a lot of talk about him being a bad boy.
Do you reckon the fact that people have somewhat not celebrated Nadia Bartel, but related to Nadia Bartel after the alleged white powder incident, do you think that maybe they saw how that went down and how it was received and thought, oh, okay, maybe people like this sort of content?
No, they wouldn't even know who Nadia Bartel is. She's not in the Cronulla bubble. So,
no, I definitely don't think so. I don't think they're worldly enough to kind of understand that concept. I honestly think it's a part of this born-again Christian narrative that they're pushing. I think we've discussed on another podcast that Sarah's Day is really trying to rebrand away from just a fitness influencer. She is really turning her channel into a mummy blogging space. And I think that she is really trying to target that American Christian market as well. And I think, you know, a lot of people sit back and say, oh, you know, they saw her wedding video and there was a lot of religious conversations and sentiment going on. However, a lot of people are like, well, it's not very religious that they had Fox before marriage and all these different things. And so I really think that they're trying to show that they have found God in their life and he's improved it. And this is one method that they are using to explain how Kurt has managed to change his life thanks to God.
Now, we've got to go into how Kurt was approached to be a stripper. Now, he said that he was in his physical peak. Sarah described it by saying that his body looked as though it had been photoshopped. And I remember Kurt fondly back in this time.
Well, we did see at Sarah's hen's party, her bridesmaids print off a big life-size cutout of Kurt when he was back in his Photoshop days. And you do often hear Sarah make comments that Kurt has a dad bod now and he's not the same as he used to be, which I always feel a little bit sorry for Kurt when she says that.
Well, I felt sorry for Sarah because Kurt dropped that heaps of girls told him that his body looked photoshopped. I was
It sounded like that he was seeing them around the same time as her and she seems still sort of cut by it.
You know, when you're just like, Kurt, just stop talking. Like, have some sense.
Is it any surprise though? Because the rumor is that they met on Tinder. So it's not like when you're on Tinder that you're being ultra exclusive. Like you're dating a whole bunch of girls.
Yeah. Now, it was actually at a nightclub where Kurt was approached to be a stripper. He said he was wearing a button-up top which exposed part of his chest, so his physique was quite apparent to those
on display.
And he said that the guy came up to him, asked, oh, what do you do for a living? And he said, he's a tradie at the moment. The guy then said, have you ever considered stripping?
Sophie, this sounds like the time you were approached to be an escort.
I was going to tell that story later. I will hold that off.
No, you've told it before.
No, I'll hold that off for any new listeners. I feel like I must give context. Anyway, so the guy said, well, have you ever considered stripping? And Kurt said, I'm actually a terrible dancer. I would never be a stripper. I would be terrible at it. The guy said, please take my card, consider it. So Kurt said a week later, he was watching Magic Mike and he thought, is this fate? This actually looks really fun. Maybe I should become a stripper. He decided to get his friend's take on it and they said, are you serious? What are you thinking?
Can you imagine, though, if he had become a stripper, all the stories that would have come out after he dated Sarah's Day? Because the internet is just wild with rumors. I feel like this is a rumor that I probably wouldn't have believed if I'd heard it a few years ago.
Can I just say that there is actually nothing wrong with being a stripper
either?
Because, I mean, I think he was quite brave to talk about it because I think that
there's a lot of stigma.
Yeah, there's a lot of stigma, and it is something that a lot of young men and women want to do when they are trying to make a lot of money.
Well, he did joke that we could actually see his content on OnlyFans, which Sarah was very quick to say was not actually a thing.
Just to provide some context to the escort story that you dropped before, Amy, I have discussed it in a really early episode. But
Sophie
basically
was thinking of becoming a drug dealer and escort when she lost her job.
No, I was not. No, so basically it was when we were working at Seven at the time and I was in Sydney. Amy was at her cadetship. I thought I'd tag along and I was shopping by myself in Burke Street?
Pitt Street.
Anyway, I'm walking along and this like creepy guy approached me and he's like, have you ever considered modeling before? And I was like, no, I think I'm a little bit too short. He's like, no, it's not sort of runway. It's like Playboy's, like, what is that?
Tacky
magazine, Ralph sort of stuff. And I was like, I don't think so. And then he handed me his card, similar to Kurt, and said, why don't you consider it? And yeah, the card got ripped up. It was a big no.
So if you didn't rip it up, we Googled it and it turned out it was an escrow agency.
Yeah, sadly, my modeling career is not taking off.
So if he was happy to be in Zoo, but not draw the line being an escrow.
Good morning, guys. Welcome back to another vlog.
The worst kept secret is out in the open, with influencer Jonathan Sauer confirming he's back with Madison Woolley after posting a photo of the pair on a romantic getaway. Sophie, can you fill us in on all the goss?
Well, as we've discussed a number of times on this podcast, Madison revealed that she and Jonathan broke up in the middle of June after almost 2 years together. Now, soon after, followers noticed that the pair were still in fact following each other and they kept liking one another's photos. Now, it was actually during a lockdown vlog where followers also spotted Jonathan in Madison's apartment enjoying a cocktail. Now, that was in the reflection of a mirror, so it was very good detective work.
The man in the mirror, he was dubbed.
That's right. Now, they've also been sharing stories at the same locations, with Jonathan sharing Madison's shadow or arm or feet. And it's very clear that he's more into trying to make this a public thing. And Madison has really danced around the topic. She hasn't confirmed or denied the fact that they're together. And on a recent podcast episode, she said that she'd chosen to no longer discuss her personal life. Now, this is despite starting a podcast about dating. And she opened up that she'd actually received a lot of backlash following all the relationship drama because her followers felt like she was being dishonest with them.
See, I've heard her mention multiple times in recent weeks that she's single, and she also announced that her friend Lexi had a boyfriend and that she was very much single herself, so she felt left out.
Yeah, she posted this photo of herself standing in the pool by herself with Lexi and her boyfriend all canoodling, acting as if she was, oh, poor me, I'm single. But we all know that her and Jonathan have been together ever since the lockdown started. And who could blame anyone for wanting to rekindle a relationship during lockdown? Because there's not many other options out there. However, I was very surprised when Jonathan shared a selfie of him and Madison on a midweek staycation at a winery. And they captioned the photo, "Hi." And it was kind of this soft launch of them getting back together that we all knew was happening, but to have it actually put on Instagram story, a photo of them physically together, I was like, ooh.
That being said, he seems to be the one that keeps trying to push it though, because he shared about 10 to 15 different stories of their getaway, including more long lunches, their spicy mugs, what they were up to, as we said, a photo of her. Whereas interestingly, Madison shared just one photo of the scenery and did not tag Jonathan at all.
Now let's be honest, Madison keeps Jonathan relevant. We have noticed that his Instagram following has been dropping. It's dropped ever since he broke up with Shani Grimm, and it probably peaked a little bit since he started dating Madison. I know he has been doing modeling work, but at the end of the day, he kind of needs an Insta-famous girlfriend in order to stay front and center of people's minds.
Well, he also moved to Sydney to be with her, so he probably doesn't have that many friends over there at the moment. And, you know, she's the only reason he went there.
Well, he is a professional boyfriend of Instagram. We all know that. And as you said, he is a nice handbag for influencers to have. But on the other side of things, I do think Madison has more clout, I suppose, with a boyfriend. But however, with her podcast, it would be more interesting if she was single and sharing some of these wild stories that they keep mentioning but never actually seem to happen.
Yeah, see, when they first started their podcast, I almost thought that they were going to try and make it a bit like Call Her Daddy when it was the start of Call Her Daddy. And then they kind of, as you said, kept promising that they were going to share these wild stories. And there are literally no wild stories that they've shared at all about their dating lives.
Well, she did stack it the other day after one of her extravagant lunch dinner days and broke a fingernail. That was probably the most excitement I've heard from one of their nights out.
And how obvious was it that Jonathan went and picked her up? She's like, somebody came and picked me up. Yeah.
It is interesting, though, to take a look at Jonathan's track record with relationships. Obviously, he's had his much focused on relationship with Shani Grimmon. And in that situation, Shani Grimmon went running back to him and she took him back. I feel like it's playing out in a very similar way. And I think poor Jonathan is ready for a fall again.
Yeah, but the thing with Shani is that we've got to remember, Jonathan was her manager, so he had an in to keep talking to her. I almost think it's him that's a little bit soppy and can't let people go. And the girl kind of maybe goes back and then thinks, oh, hang on, no, I've got to really cut ties and things will end.
Well, I 100% agree. That's what I was saying. I think that Jonathan is the one who is wanting to make this happen still.
I do wonder if it's one of those things where girls break up with him, then they see him looking really good on Instagram and wonder, oh, maybe he is the right guy for me. But in reality, maybe he doesn't have as much substance, or he and Maddie don't have as much in common.
Well, there's a very big age gap between the pair of them. He's turning 30 next year and she's only 23.
Yeah, I suppose we'll just have to keep our eyes peeled. I do wonder if Madison will share about this trip or whether she'll remain tight-lipped.
Hey guys, welcome back to my channel. I hope you're all doing well.
Molly Mae Hague has spoken for the first time since thieves ransacked her and partner Tommy Fury's apartment. Last month, robbers made off with £800,000 worth of designer clothes and jewellery. Amy, can you tell us more?
Yeah, so this week Molly shared a 13-minute video to YouTube entitled Let's Talk, which addressed questions surrounding the robbery. So at the time of recording, Molly's YouTube video had over 1 million views and it's currently trending number one on YouTube. So there's a lot of interest around this video. So Molly spoke openly and honestly about the ordeal and said she felt she owed it to her followers to talk in more detail about the robbery, as she shares so much online and felt like her fans deserved to know what had happened. So I felt really sad for Molly because she sounded quite shaken when she started discussing the robbery. So Molly told her followers it was the worst thing that's ever happened to her and Tommy, and she went on to describe the robbery as awful, horrendous, and terrible. Molly also confirmed media reports surrounding the robbery were true. She said she and Tommy were ransacked and only left with a handful of items. She also said she'd been staying with her manager, Fran, in the days following the robbery, but had since moved into a new apartment with Tommy and was yet to return to her old apartment. Now, interestingly, Molly said she had been grappling with emotions she didn't think she'd have to deal with, such as guilt. Let's have a listen to what Molly said.
I never thought, like, if I was to ever be robbed, I would feel guilty for being robbed. But I think seeing a lot of the things on social media and, like, seeing a lot of people's opinions about why we got robbed, I started to feel like, God, was this my fault? Like, did I share too much? Did I do the wrong thing? And I think on reflection now, like, I mean, at the end of the day, with a job like mine, my job is literally to share my life. Like, that is literally what I get paid to do. That's how I make a living. I share every aspect of my life with you. The things I buy, where I live, what I do with my boyfriend, where I'm going. It's really, really hard to find that balance of sharing so that you guys want to keep up with my life and see what I'm doing, but then also keeping my life private so that I stay safe. And I think I potentially maybe lost that balance. It's no one's fault. It is no one's fault. It's just a truly, truly awful thing to have happened.
I felt really sorry for Molly when she discussed this sense of guilt that she felt. And I did agree that it must be really hard to find a sense of balance of how much to share online. What did you guys make of it all?
Well, the first thing I thought was that she must have been copying it from the media and also her followers in terms of that it was her fault. And it appears there must be a lot of victim blaming going on, because for her to feel guilty over having all of her possessions robbed is a really strange emotion to have straight after a robbery. I mean, you think you would feel more that your privacy was breached and you'd feel a sense of loss. However, it's really sad that that was her first feeling.
Well, I think that a lot of Molly's guilt really stemmed from the fact that some fans predicted that this robbery would happen. So in late August of this year, The Mirror reported that fans were worried Molly would be the victim of a Kim Kardashian-style robbery after she showed off £128,000 worth of jewelry in an Insta story. I feel it's obvious that she has been looking at a lot of the comments made online, and even though I don't think guilt is the right emotion for her to be feeling, I think it is good that she's reflecting on what she is going to share going forward, and she realizes that she needs to put her and Tommy's safety first.
Well, I found this really interesting because there were reports in August as well that Molly had confirmed that she had security guards, as she was concerned that so many people knew where she lived. So this all came after a fan traveled 5 hours to see Molly and rocked up on her doorstep. So Molly told her followers at the time that she was concerned that a PR company had shared her address, as there was no other possible way people would know where she lived. And she also revealed that she'd spent a lot of money on security security, especially for when Tommy was away. So she said, I've had a few incidents. I just really don't feel safe anywhere anymore. I didn't feel safe in our last apartment. I don't really feel safe here. I don't really feel safe anywhere anymore because I just feel like no matter how much you try and keep your life private, when you're in the public eye, your life is never private. So due to feeling unsafe, Molly had a security car sit outside her apartment 24/7 when Tommy was away. So it's obvious there were greater concerns over Molly's personal safety as opposed to perhaps fears that they could be robbed.
See, I do recall this because I thought at the time when we discussed it a couple of weeks ago, it was strange that she didn't have her security there. But I suppose they follow her around and they weren't so focused on protecting the goods inside the house. And in terms of this guilt she's feeling, I suppose she feels that because she was flashing her jewelry online, she made not only herself but Tommy a target as well, because who knows what would have happened if they had been home. I mean, it does seem like they've been following her social media and they knew she was away. However, it could have been a very different story if the robbers had come in and attacked her or Tommy. It's just scary to think about.
Well, I feel like Tommy could have probably fought them off, considering he's a professional boxer and he's facing Jake Paul soon.
That's so true. The thing that was really surprising was that Molly said the saddest part of the robbery was the fact that they had to move. So she said that a lot of people would have thought, oh, maybe she was upset about all the things that were taken or the fact that she felt her space was violated. But she said that her old apartment, which was robbed, was actually her happy place. And she said she felt the most relaxed, happy, at peace. And ironically, she said she felt really safe in that apartment and that it was her favorite place in the world.
See, when you said you were surprised, I wasn't, because when I'm a very big avid Molly Mae YouTube watcher, and I know that she's always going on about how much she loves that apartment. I mean, they even offered to buy it off the people that own it. They love it that much. And every time they've gone shopping for a house, they seem to compare it back to this apartment. But the good news is her new apartment is amazing. Like she said, she feels at home now and is really loving the apartment, and that this new place is even better than the old one. So that's really positive to hear.
I found all of that commentary super interesting because, as you mentioned, Amy, they haven't been back to their apartment that got robbed. So they moved swiftly in with the manager. And then whilst Molly was away on a brand trip, the manager actually moved all of Molly and Tommy's possessions into this brand new apartment, found the apartment for them, made it really homely. They've got pictures on the wall. I mean, I've been in this rental for over a year. I don't have any pictures on the wall. They totally decked this place out. And I just think that's the power of Molly Mae. The fact that her manager wants to keep her on board that much, that she will fully furnish a house for her.
Yeah, she's a good manager. She's obviously a really good friend to Molly too.
Well, let's be honest, there probably wasn't that much to move in. Wasn't it all stolen?
I know.
Okay, that's a bit off.
Well, I'm just saying.
Now that they've moved into this new rental, though, a lot of fans have been asking, are they going to be doing a house tour? And Molly Mae has shot this down and said, unfortunately, she can't do a house tour because she has to be a lot more careful now about how much she reveals. Fans.
Like, no shit, she's not going to be doing a house tour.
They did say, I know you probably can't, but will you be doing it? And she said that Tommy and her safety is their number one priority and she can't risk that anymore. And she said that she will try and share stuff about her life online, but she's not going to be sharing sort of silly things that she might have shared previously that could compromise her safety.
Hi, I'm Abby Chatfield and I'm here to talk to you about my collaboration with Bush.
Abby Chatfield and Bachelorette favourite Conrad have reportedly been spotted kissing at a Byron Bay beach hotel. The Daily Mail shared the juicy photos of the pair making out. Amy, can you tell us the goss?
Yeah, so listeners of Abby's podcast probably won't be too surprised because Abby has been talking about how much she fancies Conrad on her show. But what's a bit awkward is he's currently vying for Brooke Blurton's heart on The Bachelorette, and he's actually tipped as the second favourite to take out the show. So I'm guessing the bookies are going to have to change that order. So
well, that being said, sometimes it doesn't work out between the two.
Yeah, that's
even
the
if
point.
He does win.
Well, the Daily Mail reported that Conrad was spotted with his arms around Abby's waist while they waited in line to get a drink, and then they allegedly kissed each other in front of the pub. And what I thought was really amusing was previously on Instagram, when The Bachelorette first aired, Abby said that she thought the show was a true representation of real life because she said that all the guys were average and the girls were hot. So it's quite ironic now that she's been spotted kissing Conrad.
Now, this sighting of Abby and Conrad together comes as rumours have spread that Brooke was spotted at David's house on the Gold Coast last week. And according to Sportsbet, David is an outright favourite. He is paying $1.33 to win, and Conrad is currently the second favourite to win, as you said, Amy, paying $5. But I'm assuming his odds will drastically drop after these photos have surfaced.
It's pretty obvious that David wins. We know that these Sportsbet odds do tell a big story about what the result is going to be on the show. And I'm a little bit disappointed because I thought that Brooke might actually choose one of the girls to partner up with. Obviously, we just want to see her being happy, but I am a little bit disappointed. It doesn't really make me feel like watching the rest of the series.
Oh, to be honest, I haven't even tuned in for one episode. I have lost complete...
What? Not even the first?
Not even the first episode. I have lost complete interest in this franchise, even the US Bachelor. I don't know. I feel like they've got to do something. The episodes are too long and boring.
See, I really like Brooke, so that's why I was really interested in tuning in. And I do really like the whole concept, but it hasn't been rating very well either. Yeah, I think people are just sick of the show.
Yeah, I'm glad they shook things up a little bit, but I think it's more just that I don't want to watch Australian reality TV, and we keep getting, I think people think there's a conspiracy because we haven't been talking about Love Island Australia. And to be completely transparent, I watched two episodes of the show. I was like, oh yeah, this is all right, but I have not been drawn in to watch it again because Australians can't do reality TV. I'm putting it out there.
It's better than previous years, Love Island Australia, but it's still a bit shit, let's be honest.
I've talked Brandon into watching Love Island UK again with the Molly May and Tommy series.
Oh,
and he agreed yesterday to watch it with me again. So I'm going to invest my time in that instead of a subpar version of it. I'm so sorry for everyone who is enjoying it because I feel like that's our most asked question at the moment.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Love Island?
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. If you have enjoyed it, could you please make sure you are subscribed and also leave us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
And make sure you're following us on Instagram at outspoken_the_podcast. And also, if you want to join in all the conversations, head to our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.